Meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson is excused. Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Here.
Mayor Ronald Ertley.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan has resigned. City staff Richard Marsh, city manager Ashley Coronado, city clerk Alberto Chavez, police chief Elder Orduño, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to the people living in North Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia who are suffering from violence, war, hunger, and destruction of entire neighborhoods and cities. And so to these innocent people in these areas, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We had a service award to hand out tonight, but the person isn't here, so what we will do is hold it till the next council session. Call to the public tonight. We have for a change, nobody signed up. So we will now move on to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $204,184.25.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $204,184.25. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda, items A and B, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on October the 18th, 2016 at 7 p.m. And B, approval of the appointment of Keenan Walsh to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A and B. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three. Discussion of possible approval to adopt ordinance O-16-05, amending Chapter 11 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Parks and Recreation Library and providing for repeal and severability. Andy Heretic's name is here. Does somebody else want to address that? I mean, it's probably not necessary. Do we have a motion?
Mayor, I move we adopt ordinance 01605, amending Chapter 11. The Bisbee City Code entitling Parks and Recreation Library and providing for repeal and severability.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further thoughts or discussion? No. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four, discussion of possible approval to adopt ordinance O-16-06, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5 of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in City Water Systems and providing for repeal and severability. Any discussion from the council? Do we have a motion?
Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance 01606, amending Chapter 9, Article 9.5, of the Bisbee City Code entitled Fluoride in the City Water System to reduce the amount of fluoride added to the city water from one part of fluoride per million parts of water to 0.7 tenths of a part of fluoride per million parts of water.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? No discussion. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember
Dunn? Aye.
Mayor.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number five, presentation by Board of Bisbee Vogue Incorporated on their special events in Bisbee, Ms. Cynthia Conroy.
And David Russell.
And David Russell.
So it is very nice to introduce to you
Mayor and Council, friends and residents of Bisbee. I've been wanting to make this presentation for 25 years, but only recently has our board grown to be able to develop this presentation, not only in the PowerPoint you are about to see created by David Russell, but also within the talents of our individual board members as a cohesive team. All 10 of us have worked hard in contributing to the annual success of Bisbee Vogue, Inc., and thank all citizens and merchants for being such a pleasure to serve, and I thank my board for being just wonderful people to work with. And so, in passing, the 26th annual has completed, and I know that there are many citizens out there, as well as some people right here in this room, who've never seen anything about the Bisbee 1000, which is the mothership of Bisbee Vogue, Inc., which is the nonprofit whose motto you see above, Small Town, Great Prospects. That means you can save your applause because we have it built in already. All right. Bisbee Vogue, Inc. I'm going to sort of read the parts that are important, and everybody else, especially those of you out there in TV land, can probably see them much clearer than the people in the room. But the mission of Bisbee Vogue, Inc. And this mission statement was created over literally probably 8 years with a number of both professional and then amateur board members coming and going. And Lizanne Michaud, our dedicated for over a decade graphic design person who has branded both the nonprofit and the event so successfully. Our mission, to create, promote, and support initiatives that enhance the economic vitality, health, and wellness of citizens in Southern Arizona. And so, of course, the health part of our event everybody knows about, so for 26 years we've been doing that very successfully. What you may not know is that that building you just saw, once belonging to Al Hopper, who was the architect that lived in the place you're looking at right now for over a quarter of a century, for 25 years. Al lived in this building, loved this building, improved this building, and then sold it to our nonprofit because we were in a position to buy it when prices were low. And we now have what is like the perfect business plan for a small nonprofit in a small remote region of southeastern Arizona. The suite pays the mortgage and the lights on the building when it's rented 27% to 30% of the time, which is pretty much what it's doing. So we have this wonderful suite that's available for a two-night minimum stay or a week or a month. So if you have family and overflow, just keep the Iron Man suite in mind. It is literally a warm and welcoming and homey. It was a residence, think about it, from 1905 forward till Al got it 25 years ago, and we've had it for three now. So there's our Iron Man suite. The Bisbee 1000, you may walk it or run it or just come out for the excitement. This year, we sold out for our third year in a row with 1,500 people 1 week before the event. So a week to 2 weeks before this event, it sells out. And it closes, whether it's sold out or not, at the same time. And this year it was very interesting. The last person signed up. Of course, then 100 to 200 people called and wanted to get in. So that was too bad. But we tell them every year that they can sign up on the day of the event at noon. And so there's already about 400 people registered for next year's event, which is very nice to know that we'll be moving forward. So there's stair number two, actually, from Tombstone Canyon. The Gulch. From the Gulch up to, it's a beautiful set of stairs. And as you can see, the people are enjoying their stroll. They're probably towards the end because the first 500 people, 300, 500 people walk. But literally, many of the people simply walk, run, stroll, or enjoy themselves for the day. This is the start this year. We have a new motto. It's called Do It For Your Heart. You'll see it in all the work. Again, Lizanne created that. This year, because of both the Copper Queen's interest in cardiovascular health, because of Tucson Medical Center, who we hope to have as a partner next year, we're going to be focusing on doing this kind of an event for your heart, because it is walking upstairs the equivalent of running. It's one of the reasons the event was started so long ago. And so there you have it. This is a wonderful video right here, but because your equipment in the city is not compatible with our equipment, you don't get to see the video. But you will be able to go to bisbee1000.org or Bisbee Facebook and see the video. And it's quite a wonderful video, actually. Sorry you can't see it. So anyway, it's our 27th year next year. And as it says there, the lifestyle, the opportunities for visitors and citizens alike that this event gives with its 4.5-mile look at Old Bisbee is just exciting beyond belief. So, We're really pleased tonight to be doing a couple of things. The overview, besides the mothership, the BSBY 1000, in the third year of the BSBY 1000, the Iceman competition was invented. And a few years back at the Sharp Poirier, a person who's worked for the newspapers forever and now for the city of BSBY, suggested we do something to draw attention to our wonderful firefighters and let them know how we appreciate them. And so we started we already had the BSBY 1000 Iceman competition, but we had this magnificent trophy made, which is right here, that was made by board member Thomas Enriquez and painted by Judy Perry. Its idea is to be like the Wimbledon trophy. It goes out every year to the department that wins, and they keep it for a year, and it has engraved, David, you want to turn that, has engraved the person who wins it, which we're happy to say for the second year in a row is Aaron Heston with a time of 2.59. Aaron, you're here to get your trophy and take it back to the department. And he beat out two firefighters from Los Angeles and two from Palominas and Naco. And we understand that we're going to make Sierra Vista really jealous and get them here. And we're going to get Tucson. We have some commitment already. And maybe the hot shots at Fort Huachuca. So this event's going to get tougher and tougher. But our little fire department, which is superior to most, will continue, we hope, to take home this trophy. So, Aaron, thanks so much. Come over here for us. And it's already been engraved, Aaron. So it is ready to go home to the BSBY Fire Department. All right. One other thing. This event has two divisions. It has a general division where we see a lot of Fort Huachuca and a lot of students come down from the U of A and compete without any heavy duty. And they all carry the 10-pound block of ice and antique metal tongs from the 19th century or the 20th century, whichever, way back in the 1800s. And so it weighs about 10 pounds. Thank you guys so much for your service. And most interestingly, you see the chief over here. Next year, we're going to add the police. We're figuring out a way to make it police and fire because it's our public servants that keep us safe in this event and in our towns and communities that is so critically important and celebrated by this event. So we'll be looking forward to the chief and I are working on some of the plans, you know, for that with the board. So let's see. Next is the BSBY 1000 Craft Beer Festival. And again, true to BSBY, after you do the BSBY 1000, as you can see here, it talks about, in fact, Runner's World and all kinds of people a few years back decided that beer might be a recovery drink for athletes and runners. So that was the year we started the beer festival, was the year that people were beginning to publish studies on the fact that beer. And then we have our own craft beer, Old BSBY Brewery. And most importantly, we have, to the city of BSBY most importantly, we have Southern Arizona Distributing, which is a significant business with a lot of employees that contribute to our tax base, which as we all know is important now and will continue to be important. So the Beer Festival really celebrates the fact that Southern Arizona Distributing is here, and that's why you'll see Michelob Ultra later as a sponsor, because it is the light beer of athletes and a choice. But most importantly, what people may not know, is that as you see, we say here, come meet the mule that built BSBY. So we're in the Mule Mountains. We have this great mule that comes every year. And as you can tell from that picture, a lot of people have an awful lot of fun with that mule. So there's the mule that built BSBY, in case you wondered what he looked like, or she. And the people on the right there, the woman has her medal from this year around her neck, and they're just having a great time. And the festival, if you've ever missed it, it's a great craft beer festival. And craft beer went from being just a quiet private little drink for the last 25 years and home brewers and all those kinds of people into people like Budweiser bought out the top craft beer people in the United States. For example, my favorite is from Chicago, Goose Island. So that beer is able to be here. The best craft beers in the world are able to be here because of Southern Arizona Distributing. And we have craft beers from all over the world and then a lot of local brews that you have never heard of. And so it's really a fun event. We hope you all come out. Because you can also be a designated driver and get in for a few dollars and drink Muscle Milk from Pepsi, so in water. Then moving forward from these very successful events that have been embraced all over, we have our Pickleball for All. And as it says there, this is a developing with the Bisbee Unified School District program with some major financial investors besides us behind it. Pickleball, if you haven't heard of it, is the fastest growing sport in the United States with literally 20 million players by the year 2020. Originally, the game of 55 and olders who are dropping their tennis rackets and their golf courts, as you can tell in that picture, it's now being embraced. It's in high school programs all over the United States, and we hope to soon have clinics and programs here in Bisbee. And so that's our hope for the future, and we're already playing it. Do we have our next? Yeah. So this is a great video that unfortunately you also don't get to see. But those are a couple of local guys, Lee Kauser, who takes care of the Clausen House, and Dr. Enright. And you can't see the 74-year-old Alice Waters or Bonnie Finkley. But, you know, there's a whole group of us who go out and play all the time on temporary courts. And we're looking forward to public permanent courts and a program that can bring tournaments and another reason to come enjoy our beautiful climate and town. So if you wonder about it, the Nationals happens starting on the 5th to the 13th in Casa Grande, where 800 people will be playing and another probably 400 people watching. So they've got about 12 or 1,300 people playing there every year. And then there are literally tournaments in neighborhoods all over towns in Arizona. So we hope to be one of those towns leading the way. And again, because of our mission, economic development and community impact, this is just, that's our little store on the left. The Cochise College, which gives us the Student Nursing Association, the Cochise College men's and women's basketball team, they're our working partners, and they literally give us about 90 volunteers, between 80 and 90, depending on the year, of volunteers who keep the event safe along with public works work that is done beforehand and the police and fire the day of. And then you see Buena High School giving out awards because about 40% of the people, 36% of the people come and have always come from Sierra Vista to this event. And we have a close relationship with Buena as well as Bisbee High School. And there they are. They're people who help us make this happen. And then that's just to remind you all of something you may not know, which is that in 2012 we beat out cities like Tempe for the Arizona Office of Special Events Tourism Award. And that changed our dynamic from being 3% Phoenix Chandler to 21% of the people now come from Phoenix and Chandler to do this event, and about 10% from outside of the state, all over the nation. And the furthest away this year was from Sweden. And these people actually literally came here for the Bisbee 1000. They didn't come for something else and then attend our event because we always talk to them and the press does too. So we're pretty proud of that. All right. And next are just some very random little event photos. The store, Martha McSally singing and then giving out awards. The couple in the middle with their itty-bitty baby that was 3 weeks old. He's our Culligan Waterman, one of our sponsors. And so George is right there with his lovely wife, and that little baby is the youngest participant we've ever had. And the oldest is 87, in case you wonder. So then you see, of course, our city manager, and I cannot, and we cannot as a board, tell you how pleased we are with the cooperation and leadership that he and also Mark Daniels there give our event. And then, of course, you see our wonderful statue. And over there's Pepsi, who we couldn't live without, the father, son. You see a lot of parents with their children. It's just a heartwarming event to either participate in, to produce, to watch. And this is the Tattooed Walls by Judy Perry. We're still waiting for national press to realize that besides the phenomenon of tattoos all over people's bodies, we have tattooed walls here. And the reason we call them that instead of murals is that Judy has developed a technique that allows the ink to soak into the concrete very similarly to how ink goes into skin. And if you look at them, they look like they've been there forever. They'll last for quite a while, and as they fade, they will still look like they belong. So we are just so proud of the work that she's done through the years and showing people the way to all 9 sets of our stairs. And then we have the wall out there. If you haven't gotten behind Bisbee Coffee, that's Pablo Pincel on the left, the hospitality mural that celebrates some of the greatest parts of humanity that we all have. We have our Do It For Your Heart and everything from trees and shrubs and monsoon season. So if you haven't been over there, please by all means stop in. Art in the Heart of Bisbee. That's a new phrase we're coining. We hope to get it out there so people. That's a David Russell. He's very clever. Art in the Heart of Bisbee. So, and then, of course, there's our great safety people and Craig Thomas, the KOLD guy who's been with us now for 4 years. And over there, our other economic development theme has been the motto of you can fly to Europe or drive to Bisbee, and trying to pinpoint some of the similarities that people see when they're walking on that Bisbee 1000 or running. That reminds them, if they're military, they've spent a lot of time in Europe. If they're world travelers, they've spent a lot of time. And certainly because we were built by Europeans long enough ago, that we have just remarkable buildings to celebrate. And that's what the Bisbee 1000 does. It introduces people to our town in a way that they feel like they live here, they own it, they love it, they come back many, many times throughout the year. The event itself has an 80% return rate over the years. We have people, because we ask at our award ceremony every year, we have people who have done it 25 years in a row, 23 years in a row. It's why 80% of the people come back every year, which is why the hotels are probably already sold out as we sit here tonight. So it's really a remarkable event, and we just wanted to make sure that people got a chance to see this. And as I said, without David Russell here and some other people on our board, we could have never put this together. I've wanted to do it for years. It may seem like a simple thing, a PowerPoint, but it's actually not when you have thousands of pictures to call through to pick the right one. So just be in Bisbee, a place for all. If you want to know any more about us, you can go to visit us at Bisbee1000.org. And the tourist watching the mural be painted, I mean, I've seen that 1,000 times. And up there in the left-hand corner is something we hope to see to fruition in some way, which is the Cochise Community Rec Center, which has also been a dream of the board's ever since its inception for its nonprofit status. So thank you all for your time. And those of you who have been supporters, such as these people you see right here, the City of Bisbee, of course, with their public works and public safety, Freeport, the good neighbor, as I call them, the powerful good neighbor that supports so many people. Guild Mortgage is our newest sponsor, and they're helping to build new homes, to finance the sale of homes in Bisbee. Sierra Toyota has been a sponsor for a decade plus. ACE is here in Bisbee, and some of you may not know this, but one of the reasons is Les Borchakowski and Kathy, the owners. Les lived in Bisbee for a couple of years when he was like in the 8th and 9th grade. He loves Bisbee, and that love of Bisbee made him want to invest and help this community grow. Pepsi, they're a huge sponsor of ours. Our finish line between Pepsi and Safeway, our finish line that people enjoy when they come across the finish line, has a value that would cost us $7,000 if we had to buy it, but it's donated. The Review and Bisbee Daily Review and the Service to Herald has been our original sponsor for 26 years now. Cherry Creek Radio for a good 10 to 13 years. I mentioned Michelob already, Cochise College, our working partner with whom there's no way this event could happen, and to whom we give scholarships as well as donations to both of those programs that help us. And the Southwest Gas Company, KOLD, American Ice, which you can find right down here at Giant, and of course the Page Family and Bisbee Coffee. So these are the people that have made for years and years this event happen, and we're all very happy and a heartfelt, as it says, thanks to everyone who's participated or contributed in any way. Thank you. Oh, you have any questions?
Ms. Conroy, Mr. Russell, I want to thank you very much for an excellent presentation. That was extremely well done. Thank you.
Yeah, too bad you didn't get to see the videos.
also a thank you to all the people involved with Bisbee Vogue. Well done. Any other comments from the council?
I would like to.
Councilmember Dowdy.
I would like to say something about the Bisbee 1000. I talked to several people after they finished the race from Ireland, from Sweden, from Hawaii, from Maryland and Phoenix, Sierra Vista, everywhere. And they all said that they had a great time and they were coming back next year. And I talked to one little six-year-old who ran the race. And I asked her if she had fun. She said, yes, was so excited about it. And I said, Are you going to do it again? Definitely, yes. And these kids are so wonderful. They just get so excited about everything. But she was really cute, and she's going to be back next year with her mommy and daddy from Phoenix. So, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy, I don't do the stairs, of course, but I have a good time just doing what I can to help out, and I particularly like talking to the people when they finish. And I was watched them come in at the finish line, and some of them were coming so fast at the finish line that they had trouble slowing down. And there were people there that were just grabbing them to keep them from running through the fence. It's pretty exciting to watch. I enjoy it. Thank you.
Any other comments? If not, we will go to item number 6, the City Manager's Report, Mr. Richard Marsh, and I believe he has a presentation for us.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I want to thank you, Mayor and Council, for the opportunity to serve as your city manager. The last 90 days, it has been a delight, and to work with you under your direction, it's been a pleasure. And I don't take that lightly. What I'm saying, I'm very serious about that. I've been in the business for about 28 years now, and to work with you has been an awesome experience for me. What I thought I would do, since I've been asked a few questions from citizens and also from some council persons and business owners. What do you think about Bisbee? And what are some of the things that you and the administrative team have been working on? So what you have before you, as we're going to unravel this as we move forward, you're going to find out that we looked at some internal, we have internal foundations that we've established and that we're going to build on. And also there's some external foundations that we have established that we will be working on. So this is what we've been doing is a work in progress. We're going to look at first the culture, then we're going to go through each department to look at some of the successes. Each of the departments submitted to me some of their successes over the last 90 days. Some will include some things that happened a little bit prior to that. But trust me, I did get enough information to do a four-hour presentation tonight, but I won't do that to you. I've condensed it down, so I should be before you no longer than 20 minutes. The last part, other than the city departments and their successes, we're going to look at the relationships that have been built and also some of the partnerships, and that will conclude the presentation. First of all, I'd like to go with one of the most important parts of this presentation, in my mind, is what's next. And that's something we've been working on as a team, and that is to develop a culture within our organization. And you'll see some of the things under transparency, which we've been doing and working on as a team. But I want to focus in on the servant leadership. And this is a quote that I put after looking at a quote I saw in my daughter's school, a big banner that they have in the reception area. It says, and I'm going to kind of be sidetracked for a moment. It says, educating the mind without educating the heart is not education at all. And likewise, I believe that leading with the mind without leading with the heart is not really leading. And so we believe in leading by compassion. I believe in the next point you see here is teamwork makes the dream work. We all are linked together, and no one's more important and more valuable than the other in this organization. One broken link in that chain, nothing works. And respect, one of the things that I focus on every day is to how can I earn the respect of our team members. That's very important to me. Professionalism, we have that. We're working on that. Customer service is a big emphasis within our leadership team. And social responsibility, which is do the right thing. We hold each other accountable for doing the right thing, wherever that may lead. And unity and also integrity speaks for itself. I'd like to go to the next slide. And this picture here speaks for itself. These are the employees of the leadership team within the city of Bisbee. and they're the core of the organization. This organization cannot succeed and would not be successful without our leadership team and our staff. Without them, things would collapse. And so we need to emphasize as a leadership team and as an organization and show our appreciation and our gratitude for all the hard work and dedication that our leadership team and our staff are putting forward for the city of Bisbee. We have an all-employee meeting, which every employee in this town has, in the city of Bisbee has my cell phone. I wanted everyone to know that I'm accessible. I have an open-door policy. And also went to every department. I had a chance to personally meet everyone. In addition to having an all-employee meeting, we've had meetings where I've been actually to each department to meet our team. Succession identification and training. One of the things we talk about in the leadership team is to have a deep bench, meaning that the police chief, our DPW director, and on should be looking at who is the next person that can step up and take your job, like my job. Who is the next in the organization that can take the city manager's position? And we need to, I believe that there's not, it's important for us to have institutional knowledge, which we do have, but if that person isn't there or away, there needs to be someone there that can step up and take and fill the spot and fill the shoes of that person who's in leadership. And also let's look at the long term of what that person can do for the organization. So we're big on succession planning and succession identification and also training. The next slide, we talk about successes. Let's look at the finance department. Carrie Bagley is the finance director. Carrie has 3 degrees, 2 in accounting, and she also has 13 years of municipal experience. The audit this year, as you see, the point 3 submitted before, it was submitted within the week of arrival. There is no further request made by the auditor. Typically, they'll call and say, you know, it was incomplete, we need more information. The auditors arrived late Monday on October the 3rd, and they wrapped up by Wednesday afternoon, October the 5th. They left 3 days sooner than they traditionally have left when they came here to the city of Bisbee. I want to go to the next slide. And that is Bank of America account transition. We've changed banks because the Bank of America said we're too small. They went to a different model, and they wanted to handle populations a little higher or more than Bisbee. So we had to do some bank reconciliations. And as you see there, that Carrie and her leadership, we end up closing out those books 7 months before the deadline. Franchise agreements, there's many franchise agreements. We have APS with Cable One, and also Arizona Water, and there's one other, pardon me?
Southwest Gas.
We wanted to make sure that we're compliant and we're compliant. There's no opportunities for us to miss any deadlines for extending or terminating those agreements or looking at renegotiating contracts. Current budget, this is important. The current budget that we have, there were some challenges I saw with that, and so what we needed to do is come together as a team so we can meet our budget projections. And so we have monthly budget talks with each department head, and we as a team will monitor our performance monthly to ensure that we meet our targets that we've set in the budget. The budget process, what's going to happen this coming year when we start in late December, early January, is going to be more inclusive. We're going to have at least 3 budget sessions, so it will allow council to make informed and educated decisions, and the public can be aware of what we're doing as an organization. We don't want to speed through this process. It's very deliberate, very methodical. We want to make sure that everyone has input into that process. Next, spending freeze is one of the first things I had to do within the first 30 days after I looked at the budget and our numbers. We had a lot of things ongoing in terms of memorandum of understanding. There was projections of police overtime, fire overtime we had to look at and which we're monitoring. And in fact, the fire chief is going to give us a plan on how we can reduce the overtime costs by December 31st. We also are looking at having a 5-year budget forecast, which we will be presenting a proposal for that to the mayor and the city council first week in December, along with an idea about having a 5-year budget strategic plan. It's good to have the forecast to see where we're going, but then we need to put together a plan so we can address those targets that we may set as an organization moving forward. And what it lends itself to is being more proactive instead of reactive. We can plan and we don't have to react to situations before they become dire. We can we can kind of see where we're going in advance. The next slide, personnel, of course, as the mayor and the council made it clear to me during my interview, I am the personnel director right now. And some of the successes of that department, you can see there, online stream, onboarding, streamlining, personnel, record, medical file organization, human resource, Cassell, model information entry, recruitment process streamlined, background checks, OSHA, which we hadn't been doing, we're doing now. I'd like to go to the next slide. Employee training, we've provided that and we'll continue to do that. The personal normal duties, which we're doing now, we're looking at our benefits. PAF is personal action forms. We're doing exit interviews. I'd like to jump down to the EIB, PTO payouts. The personnel rules and regulations, we had to review that because it created a little hardship for some employees and how the interpretation of what actually is in the policy versus how it was being implemented. Within 24 hours, if you're absent for 24 PTO time for 24 hours and it's regarding sick time, our policy would allow you to utilize your PTO time, but it was interpreted that no, you couldn't use that. You needed to apply for disability, and so it created hardship. But we've looked at that again. We had our attorneys review that. So now we're doing things where, in association with employee council agreement, we're back on track doing things the right way. Personnel rules and regulation, PTO payout. What we're saying now is to our team is that we encourage you to use your PTO time, and we're asking that you show documentation that you've tried to use it, and if you couldn't use it, we need to find out from your supervisors why you weren't allowed to use it, because it's important that we try to expend the PTO time. And we are on track with working and rewarding that, and we're going to meet with the employee council to review that and get their input. Performance evaluations, what I would like to, as a city manager and also along with our team, is develop performance evaluations where they're first would start off with goals. We as a team establish goals, and then next, after a six-month or a year period, we will evaluate how you've addressed those goals, if you met those goals. If not, then there's an opportunity to put in a corrective action plan. So we're looking at a more comprehensive approach to performance evaluations. Pay disparity, yes, we know that there's been somehow in our system where there are some department heads and some staff persons who are a lower job classification making more than others, and so we reviewed that, and we're going to suggest that we do consider having a wage and job classification study to bring more parity within the organization. The next, Monica Flores, who is the interim, she's three titles she has, interim executive assistant, personnel assistant, and also she's also the lead account, one of the lead accountants in the finance department. When I got here, there was no one assigned to the manager's office as an executive assistant. There was no one there for the department head, for personnel. And I had to, and I look at the budget, and there was no money to allocate other than $27,000. So she was put on loan from the finance department for a short period of time, and after being there and digging and seeing how much work that was required in the area of human resources and also my need for executive assistant, she's been placed there as an interim executive assistant with no pay increase, and she's her salary has been split between three funds. And next budget year, we're looking at having a position for that personnel director to relieve some of the responsibilities and obligations of the city manager if it's the desire of the council to do so, because I would go right into the next is the reason why. The community development department, city manager is also the director of the community development department. And there's five divisions within the community development department. One will be tourism, and these are some of the successes that Jen, who's doing an outstanding job, has accomplished over the last year and some within the last 6 months. We can go to the next slide. Thank you. You see the advertisement and also the information that we're getting out there literally around the world within those magazines. And she put together a nice number on the next slide. You'll see with the, actually there's more. Television, yeah, she has a lot she's been doing over the last year. We're on the we have a commercial on Channel 4. There's the Arizona Rural Policy Forum she went to. In fact, we're thinking about, we're trying to attract the Rural Policy Forum here to Bisbee for year 2017. We're in the running for that. The next slide will show you. Let's go to the website stats. I'm sorry, I apologize. Which is right there in the center. From September October 25th, we had 10,000 users approximately, and sessions at 12,000 sessions, 934 sessions. Average time on the site was 3.9 minutes, and you have 81% new users. The demographics, they show 58.7% male, 55 to 64 years of age, and they're from primarily the Phoenix-Tucson area. The next one. And the bottom line is the article is written on Bisbee, but it went worldwide. We have an estimate in-kind contribution from those articles of $1,431,980. I'd like to go to the Queen Mine, which is another division under the Community Development Department. Successes, capital improvements. Doug's doing an outstanding job of $80,000 in capital improvements at the mine. And there's pending lease agreements that our team is working on regarding the lease agreement with Freeport. Grants, that's another division under the city managers, actually under the Community Development Department. You'll see there we received a grant from the Arizona Transportation for $1.3 million. With that, we're going to get two new buses. It's a two-year agreement. The next slide, we've have new bus shelters that we're putting out in the community. Fire Department grants, self-contained breathing apparatus, ADOT 5311 grant. We have the Warren District Plan. I know Councilman Dunn has been asking where are we at with that, and we finally got information from Councilman Dunn, and we'll be bringing something forward to you to review at our December meeting at the very latest. The next training and technical assistance, we're going to be talking, having another conversation with Melody Green to help us out with the grant writing, because there's many opportunities that we are missing out on regarding USDA and also with the Homeland Security. The next slide. Building Inspector, another division under the Community Development Department, which I'm responsible for. Joe Ward is doing an excellent job with time management. He's multitasking. He also has received a new certification for Stormwater Inspector, International Property Maintenance Code Inspector. We're looking at GIS ordinances review. We're looking at reviewing and making some recommendations, of course, with the council's and mayor's input regarding building, zoning, parking, and sewer ordinances moving forward. Now, this is the fifth division regarding the Community Development Department, and that would be the Community and Economic Development is a division. And one of the things that's very, very important, I believe, for us to consider as we move forward is community sustainability. And Fred Miller brought this to my attention. We do have a maturing business community, particularly in Obisbee, where, according to his records, the two-thirds are between the age of 60 and 70 years old, going strong. But we need to look at fulfilling that gap. When that transition happens. Quality housing, eliminate blight, abandoned homes. There's a nonprofit corporation that is in development stage of forming that there may be another opportunity for us to partner with so we can eradicate some of the blight that we see in the area. Their role would be to acquire, rehab, and sell those properties. Commercial rehab, facade improvement for a downtown area, and every business owner that I just shouldn't say Obisbee. We won't restrict it to Obisbee, but we're looking at developing a commercial rehab program for facade improvement, exterior improvements for properties, commercial properties within the city of Bisbee. Airport, there's an opportunity there. In my interview, I was asked the question, what I saw as assets. Airport is an asset. We're looking at doing some more there. We'll talk more about that moving forward. Infrastructure, if we're going to attract and we're going to do some create new opportunity, we need to look at our infrastructure, particularly along the narco corridor, And I'll talk more about that as we move forward through the presentation. Incubator, there's ideas about incubator. What kind would that be? We're looking at perhaps high tech, it could be agriculture, it could be an arts incubator. We need to have more discussion regarding that moving forward, but it is something we have our eye on. If we can move back one more slide, the Shark Tank. We were approached by Cochise Small Business Development Center, and they have gotten the rights from the actual Shark Tank that we see on television to utilize their name and bring Shark Tank here to Bisbee. Right now we have a list of investors that he does, that is Mark Smith, who are interested in that, and they're focusing on high tech, the hotel industry, and they don't want to limit it, but this is something we plan on launching the first quarter of 2017. It's in the early planning stages right now, a Shark Tank, and we're thinking about having this, and we met with Ryan at the Royale at his location. Want to move to the next one, please? Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Ashley. And I want to thank Ashley for putting this presentation together for me. Among everything else she's done, she put this together. She also is working this tonight for us, so I want to thank you, Ashley. And we're almost done. We only have a few more slides. We need to consider diversifying the economic base. We're relying on tourism a great deal, and we can continue to do that some. If we do that, there's a great opportunity, a huge opportunity, to work with the U.S. to encourage the U.S. and Mexico relations in the area of tourism, trade, commerce, and events. We've talked with the consulate. We've talked with Martha Sally's office. We've talked with the Arizona-Mexico Commission, and it seems to be a season right now where people are looking at this area of improving our economic development opportunities and working on that within the U.S. and Mexico. And Bisbee is, I believe, that we should be a part of that conversation and something that I look forward to engaging in the future. Healthcare is another opportunity, perhaps. We need to find out what is the highest and best use and what would be the best industry we should focus on. These are just ideas that I brought forth, and I think at the end of this presentation, we'll talk briefly about how we can get to what we really want to look like when we, as we move forward. Warehousing distribution, I've talked to the Border Patrol person, I've talked to people in Yuma. There's a great opportunity, at least in the border communities, for warehousing distribution of poultry and agriculture. New technology in mining, I know we've talked about that with U of A. We want to continue to have those conversations. IT, again, that's another area that's right under the new technologies that I believe is an opportunity for us. Family entertainment, I think there's a huge opportunity for us to look at that within the city of Bisbee. Grocery store, I've been hearing that the prices, and I shop at Safeway a great deal, but I hear that there may be an opportunity for us to look at another grocery store perhaps. There with more competitive pricing, so something we need to consider in my mind. And also we need to examine the economic leakages occurring. Encourage shopping local, but also what other businesses are not offered here that are in demand that we're leaving town to go get, to pursue. Something we need to look at moving forward in my mind. The next slide. Package the product, community profile. We need to have a brochure that would package our assets, any incentives we have within our community or within the region, and we need to reach out to the economic development community and provide that information for them. It's a resource that I think we need to look at developing and one I've been involved with developing in the past. This is probably the most important part of the conversation regarding community and economic development is being redevelopment ready. Are we ready? We talk about business attraction and retention, and that's a great thing to do, but are we ready for it when they come? One of the things that I believe that is important to do is to make sure we have a contact person for a prospective business owner or developer. We also need to give some thought to what are the wishes and desires of the Council, Planning Commission, Design Review Board, and others, and what message are we delivering to the business community? Are we speaking with one voice? If we aren't, we have a discussion about how we can get there. Zoning regulations, are the business-friendly ordinance review, planning and permit review process. What business owners want to see is that you have a system in place. If they are going to provide a site plan, can you guarantee they're going to turn that around within 24 or 48 hours? If they need a permit to open their they apply for a permit to open their building after they're here, can we guarantee they're going to get that response within 24 or 48 hours? This is being redevelopment ready. And we need to have that conversation moving forward. Also, business friendly. We need to build confidence with the businesses and developers. Clerk's office, let's go here. Ashley and Nina are doing a wonderful job. We all know that. And the successes is Nina's Williams Certified Municipal Clerk Destination she received, which is a coveted certification throughout the whole country. And we have one of our very own who has that. The next slide, moves in the park, the election, no expected issues. Public records requests, this is huge, 175 public record requests within to date from, I believe that's the last 90 days. And the operation is running smoothly. Fire department, want to thank the chief for his leadership and his success with the memorandum of understanding. We want to go to the next one, please. And then the new helicopter pad, paramedic promotions. We want to talk about the new turnout gear, the new ambulance. The Cochise County Fire Chief Association meeting was hosted here on the 26th. Great time I had over there meeting the fire chiefs within the Cochise County community. The next one, these are the alarms that he's projected, which is 3,000. He's on track right now, only 3 months into the fiscal year with 933. No injuries, thank God. This is an issue here. PS PRS, huge. This is what's coming out of our budget this year alone towards the our pension obligations, unfunded liabilities. It's coming from the general fund. We have, in our five-year forecast, we need to have a discussion about dealing with that. I'm going to a meeting this Thursday in Phoenix to talk about how the Senate Bill 1428 would have an impact in a positive way for us, but we need to come up with a short-term solution, which I've been working on, and we'll be presenting on to the mayor and the council over the next 30 days. And last, budget analysis. We know what our revenues are, and that's great, but we need to also have a better handle on the expenses associated with that. We need to consider we're going to have this as an enterprise fund, or at least be able to track the monies that are being spent. We know what's coming in, but how it's being spent out. So we're working on that as well, and Mark has been very supportive. And by December 31, we're going to have that analysis done and that information provided for the mayor and the council for their review. We're looking at the reserve firefighters, what the chief decided he wanted to do. I think it's a great idea. Police department, I want to thank Chief. Chief Al, I call him Chief Al. I'll tell you, this man, there's three of him. I mean, he's here in the department. I see him when there are special events, and he's just an outstanding man, just like all of our leadership team are doing extraordinary work. Successes for new officers, existing staff is stepping up in spite of the staffing shortages. The next slide, police policy manual, which is being under review right now. That's huge that we're going to have that. And donations of the badges, and we want to thank the donations that took place. And we had an event here, and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience for me to see the love and compassion that we have here within our community of Bisbee. Event coverage, again, despite being short-staffed, we're doing it, 100% coverage. Interim Chief Long, this is back to succession planning and leadership development. He's advanced leadership programs, what he's went to. He's also completed that executive leadership program, three-month period, modernized behavioral science, leadership theories, increased credibility and effectiveness within the organization. This is another huge number, 513. You know, we have 94% of the employee 94% is being provided for the police in terms of employee contribution. There's about 84% for fire. Combined, you're looking at $1.2 million just this year alone that's coming out of the general fund to deal with the PRS challenge. And so we need to look at that long term, and the fire forecast and strategy will help us address that. And I'm also going to be looking at it very closely over the next 30 days and coming back with comments for the mayor and council regarding that. The next slide, Public Works, Andy. Andy is on steroids. Andy, he does such a great job in what he does. He always is looking for other things to do. His plate's full, but he always says, I need a bigger plate, and he does. This is some of the things he's done for staff there, provided certification opportunity for certification for Mike Turan. This is back to succession planning. New hirees, this street paving project, the department has done 11.5 miles to date. Those are the streets that have been done. He's 4 years ahead of schedule of a seven-year time frame, and there's 31 miles still pending. We'd like to go to the next slide. Lift machine, some other successes. Park and recreation, I'd like to park here for a minute on the city pool. And I want to thank the friends of the Bisbee as well, of the Bisbee pool, and also the city. We were able to find $11,000 for operations. We still need to find more money for the hire costs. What I need to get from our staff by the end of this month is what those hire costs would be for repairs. And after I get that, we'll know exactly what that budget would be for the remaining of this fiscal year to open up the pool. But right now we've identified for operations $11,000. We'll go to the library. There's a lot there. Checked out 4,423 library items since September. Increase of nearly 1,400 items. Jason and Allison are doing a yeoman job, a great job with the library. Want to go to the next slide, please. Food for Fines program, we all know about that. That was a great creative approach to help those who don't have the monies for the fines, but also can donate some food to help out others. I want to move down to the next one, please. There you can take a glance at the other things and successes within the library department. Children's library, two new computers. That's another partnership with the Friends of the Library. Ceiling fans by the Friends of the Library. City of Bisbee building leases. We're looking at all of our leases that we have or don't have and proposing that the mayor and the council allow us to, with your blessing and provide them to you first, look at these leases that we need to have and those that we currently do have. And so we're reviewing those to find out where we are. Post office lease. The post office lease, it's a five-year lease. It expires next year. It's been flat for the last 5 years. There's not been an increase in that, and so we're looking at negotiation for that lease. The post office is a huge opportunity for our citizens' business. We want to keep it there, and we will stay there. We just want to make sure that the lease agreements are fair and equitable, and so we're negotiating, along with Brett helping us out, with the CBRE, which is a major brokerage firm, represents the post office. Legal services. The legal team is always available when we need them, always accessible. We want to look at moving forward the legal services, and that will expire next year, in consideration of perhaps an RFP. That would be the desire or the will of the council if they wanted to look at that. I wanted to move to the next one. Community relations, and then we have probably about three more slides and we'll wrap this up. One of the things that the mayor of the council made clear to me during my interview, that they wanted to make sure I had a presence in the community, that I was connecting well with the community that we serve. And so what I've established was a chat with the manager, had my first meeting. It was requested by a citizen there that I have two meetings, one in the morning, one in the evening, so I've accommodated that request. I listened, and we have two meetings a month now, one in the morning and one in the evening. The business city manager quarterly meetings, we're going to have one at the Royale. Very engaged conversation with the business owners, and also citizens and business complaints. I've encouraged our citizens that I'm here as a public servant to serve you. So we've had office visits where we've had to work with, and with pleasure, dealing with business and citizen complaints. From the desk of the city manager, I want to thank Laura for the opportunity to also put a column monthly into the Bisbee Observer, talking about events and ongoing things that the city may be working on. And I am so delighted that she's open for us to have that column, which will first article will go in the end of November. Also, we're looking at, with Shara's help, the possibility of having a column in the Bisbee, I'm sorry, in the Sierra Vista Herald as well. And by the way, Shara, her expertise and her talent, that's another talent and expertise we have in the organization, been underutilized. She will be helping me write those articles. The next one. Thank you. Public relations and partnerships. This is what the Border Environment Corporation Commission and also North American Development Bank. I think there's a huge opportunity. We've done some work with them before. We need to look at what else we can do with the North American Development Bank regarding infrastructure in our community. And so Andy and I and also Jen will be working on it. I'll be taking the lead on that. The Arizona-Mexico Commission, we've been invited to be a part of that commission through the governor's office and also through the executive director of the Arizona-Mexico Commission. The governor of the state of Arizona has an office for the Arizona-Mexico Commission in Mexico, and he has a designated staff person to make sure that action plans are fulfilled in the area of four areas. One, tourism, commerce, trade, and event planning. And so there's a conversation going on regarding that. We're a part of that as well. The Mexican consulate, of course, we met. He's down there with me and others to talk about those four areas regarding Mexico and U.S. relations, particularly as it relates to Bisbee. Senator Martha McSally, we had a conversation regarding that. She's supportive of that. The Arizona State Office of Tourism, we met with them. It's amazing how when they go to China, they go to Japan, they go to South America, around the world, they're carrying Bisbee in their portfolio. They're talking about Bisbee, which is wonderful. And the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, we're members of that. We are going to be working closely with them. In fact, there's a trip being planned to Sonora, where Andy's going to be attending. The bus is going to be driven by coordinated by the Tucson Tucson Hispanic Chamber, and develop that relationship with Sonora. And that's something forthcoming within the next 30 days. The cohort of Bisbee, the Sustainable Communities Cohort for Bisbee, which is Freeport's initiative, and a member, many of us in this room are part of that cohort. They're looking at business attraction and retention. We've teamed up with them. Of course, we've been improving our relationship with Copper Clean Hospital. We want to thank the Friends of the Animal Shelter. In fact, we just were notified today by a funding source that we received $14,000 for our animal shelter. We didn't write the grant, but the Friend of Bisbee stepped up, wrote the grant. We received it. And we're just honored to have that partnership, as well as with the Friends of the Bisbee Pool, Bisbee Vogue, and also Bisbee Hospitality Group, who helped out with our community service program. And we want to focus in on the University of Arizona internship program. There's many opportunities we have. We've talked with the University of Arizona, and they're coordinator of that program. So we see us moving forward with enhancing our relationship or internship programs here within the city of Bisbee in various capacities within the organization. The next. Okay. This is the future goal, and this is, we talked a little bit about the economic development, community development. We've talked about our departments and some of the successes. And Bisbee has an extraordinary story that I find fascinating. As you know, I've worked with a lot of the Fortune 100 companies, which would include Ford and Chrysler and GM and all that, Whirlpool. But what has put Bisbee on the map worldwide? The destination by the USA Today is the best historic small town in the USA. The Sunset Magazine destination is the best small town in the USA. How did that come about? I had to ask myself that. And it came about because of a lot of people who weren't a part of Fortune 100 companies but with a lot of dedication and commitment and drive and had a dream about their small businesses flourishing. It came about because of partnerships. It came about as a result of volunteers. It came about because of leadership from the mayor and the council. And that's how Bisbee has been recognized worldwide as this community that others from around the world come to visit. And many have came here not only to visit but to live. So moving forward to talk about a vision and a mission statement and have a community-wide strategic plan, I think there's value in having an engagement with and to include nonprofits, our business owners, our citizens, our planning, our mayor and council, of course, and everyone to talk about what do we want to be and what's important to us as we move forward over the next 5 years. And so I would propose at some point that we have a discussion regarding having this vision and mission statement for our community and also a community strategic plan. And one of the things I hope come out of this, if we were to do this, is that we all recognize we're one family, we're one team, and together we can do more than we can divided. And I think that kind of strategy or that kind of exercise will get us to where we all hope to go, and we're moving, I believe, in that direction right now, but it will solidify that with an actual document with goals that have been accepted by the mayor and the city council. The next slide, the last one. It's been an amazing 3 months, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve as your city manager. Thank you.
Mr. Marsh, thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank
that
you.
Was an impressive presentation.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that very much. It says below, any other comments from the city manager? That was quite a few.
Awesome job that Ashley did this weekend with almost a thousand kids in the park. That was wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
No council comments. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.